Saving and everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Best Air Ultimate Allergen Air Filters. They trap large airborne particles to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Best Air products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome in and a very happy Wednesday to you now, January the 8th. That's right, January the 8th. It is Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you stopping by as we get ready for a loaded slate and some big-time matchups on the hardwood tonight, both in college basketball as well as the association, as the NBA. A lot of eyes are going to be on, well, one particular game tonight involving, well, a pretty historic matchup, maybe even a preview, if you will, of what we might get in the NBA Finals as the Oklahoma City Thunder, currently 30-5 on the season, are heading to Cleveland to take on the Cavs, who are, well, 31-4 on the season. Both these teams, in fact, coming in to this game on double-digit winning streaks right now. Kind of crazy when you think about it, but these are the two best teams, bar none, in the NBA so far this year, and they are going to be on showcase here tonight in the NBA. That game will tip off at 8 o'clock p.m. I'm sorry, 7 p.m. here tonight, as the Cavs are the home favorite, laying, well, right around 2.5 here. So this is a huge game tonight. Pretty good litmus test for both these teams. The Cleveland Cavaliers right now, 18-1 at home this season. Meanwhile, the Oklahoma City Thunder coming off of big wins against both the New York Knicks and the Boston Celtics at home. Well, now they got to take this on the road and go to one of the most difficult places to win in the NBA. And believe it or not, it's the Cleveland Cavaliers. And to add just a little spice to it, it's so nice to talk about Cleveland and not having anything to do with one LeBron James. No, he is stuck in L.A. with the Lakers, who, well, can get trounced by the backups of the Dallas Mavericks. But that's old news. We're worrying about some of these other games that we've got tonight. Let's switch it over to college basketball. Now that we have conference play coming up here over the next month or so, man, have we got some good ones here. And how about UConn, the defending, two-time defending national champions, heading to Philly to take on Villanova? And both of these teams have had certainly their ups and downs so far this year. Both of these teams were expected to be, well, maybe just a little bit better than what they have been. And yet, your eyes are not deceiving you. And no, the graphics guys did not screw that up. That is Villanova as a favorite here over the two-time defending champs. And boy, oh boy, it just feels like the books are begging you to take the UConn Huskies in this one. Unfortunately for UConn, they are dealing with some injuries, and namely to one of their best and leading scorers who will not be available to them, not just tonight, but we're talking weeks, not days. Liam McNeely, the freshman, has a high ankle sprain. He has by far been their engine for this UConn team. He is the guy that they have turned to score when they need it. And after finishing in last place to open the season at the Maui Invitational, they managed to go and then rip off 8 straight wins. And my goodness, Villanova, who started the season 3-4, well, they've won 7 of their last 8. So both of these teams are coming in on a high note. The problem with UConn is they played the last game without McNeely, and that was at home against Providence, who's not very good. And they were trailing by as many as 14 points in that game before they pulled out a 3-point win as a 14.5-point favorite. There are some concerns about this UConn team and roster, why Caravan is not the go-to guy that many people thought he was going to be. Aiden Mahaney has not lived up to expectations since he transferred from St. Mary's. Jaden Ross, Jalen Stewart have been inconsistent, to say the least, for Hurley. Listen, they have all the talent in the world, but right now all eyes are going to be on Kyle Neptune tonight. And, of course, Mr. Dixon, they call him. That's right. He is going to be the guy that Villanova is going to look to. Why? Because the man is a scoring machine. Eric Dixon, feel like now he's in his 12th year in college basketball. I kid. But it feels like he's been at Villanova forever. But he leads the country in scoring, just about 26 points per game. He actually hasn't dropped below 25 points since the end of November. This is a guy that is consistently the go-to guy for Villanova, and he is one that elevates everybody else around him. I'm not a big fan of Kyle Neptune. I think Hurley certainly can outcoach him. The question is, can Hurley's guys deal with Eric Dixon in a way that will allow them to win this game? The market seems to think so, as Villanova historically, including this year, has been an impossible place to win games on the road as the visiting team. We're going to see here if whether or not UConn has what it takes to get it done. Looking very forward to that game. We also have a couple of teams coming off of absolutely embarrassing, and I mean embarrassing, losses. And you don't have to look any further than Norman, Oklahoma, as OU, the Oklahoma Sooners, back home after a absolute drubbing by Alabama over the weekend. And I mean embarrassing loss, too. Oklahoma was one of the few remaining undefeated teams in the country until they ran into Alabama, and Alabama reminded them that, yeah, settle down. Welcome to the SEC here, my friends. And they actually got smoked. The problem with Texas A&M here is that Buzz Williams has already told us that Taylor, their leading scorer, and of course the captain, the guy that makes the engine run for Texas A&M, apparently has some sort of undisclosed injury, so he won't be going here tonight for the Aggies. Interesting. But what that means is no Wade Taylor and no Zurich Phelps, the two leading guys for Texas A&M. I think this gives OU a pretty good opportunity to get back and get back on track with a big W. The money has all been coming in on OU here tonight, and I think it's warranted. I do think they'll handle business at home, a place in which they have not lost yet. And speaking of Alabama, well, they're going to go on the road, and once again, after that drubbing of OU, guess what? They're going to have to go to South Carolina tonight here, and not only are they going to have to go, they're going to have to lay double digits in this game. As you can see, this opened up at 10, guys. This has been bet up to 11.5. I preferably look at the overs when I deal with Alabama games, even on the road. We know Alabama can score. We know Nate Oates usually can get these guys to play some semblance of defense, but it just feels like this might be a game in which we're going to be getting a ton of points. I am looking at the over in that one. You also have Arizona State, Kansas. We've got Ole Miss and Arkansas, huh? Look at that, the Calipari era. Not going so well in Arkansas here. We got a lot to talk about in college hoops, much more in the NBA. And, of course, they will play football over the next 48 hours. We'll talk about that as Game Time Decisions continues on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. Joe Ranieri, joined by my good friend Mark Zeno here as we get ready for a loaded night on the hardwood here, Zen, in the NBA. And listen, I think the NBA ratings would be much better if we had, I don't know, games with the kind of juice that we're going to have tonight in Cleveland, as the Oklahoma City Thunder, just 5 losses on the season, taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers, who have lost just 4 games on the season. Now, this is what I'm talking about. This is the kind of, hopefully, rivalry that we can get around and maybe get a little more interest here. But the Cavs, 18-1 at home. We're talking OKC coming off of big wins against Boston, against the Knicks at home. But, man, winning in OKC and winning here in Cleveland, I get why Cleveland's the favorite. They should be, but are we betting them here tonight to win this game?
I mean, I would. I looked at this game a little bit differently when you look at kind of what is the expected sort of outcome. I would, if you force me to pick a side, I would take Cleveland at home just because they've been that good and that dominant. But, you know, the total for this game has gone up and up. And these are two of the best defenses in the league. Like, if this is going to be a playoff-type atmosphere and Cleveland is going to end up having, you know, a way to win this game, I think their defense shows out. I looked at the first half under. I mean, this total is up at 230.5. Now, our first half is up to 118. That's a huge number. So both teams are getting to 60 in the first half against two of the best defensive teams in the league. I think there's just a little bit more of a sort of pace war involved in this thing when you look at it. I mean, I understand both these teams play fast, but – you know, it's one of those things for both of these teams to get to 60. A lot of shots have to fall. And I just think these defenses are too good for that to happen on a routine basis. You may see a little bit longer of a shot clock kind of deal with some of these guys. They make the extra pass and look for a clear shot or a lane or things of that nature. And I think when I look at this, I think it's going to be more defensive than people expect.
They are. I mean, Zim, we probably shouldn't overthink it, right? They are the two best teams in the NBA. I mean, bar none, basically, right? I don't, at this point in the season, I would be okay saying this could very well be a preview of the NBA Finals. This would not shock me in the least bit.
Yeah, I think, I mean, listen, it would be a great Finals, right? I think it's going to be a great game tonight. You know, it's just interesting to see how, you know, how this thing unfolds here. But Cleveland, again, has continued to, you know, assert their dominance over everybody. And that's kind of where this whole thing is for me. It's just that, you know, Oklahoma City has been great, but they sort of live and die by the three. And if you're asking me about this game and if it's really going to go the way I think it's going to go, then Cleveland's defense on the perimeter probably would have a good measure of success tonight. And I'm hoping so, at least early.
Yeah, listen, it wouldn't also shock me if Cleveland wins the first half, given that Oklahoma City, we've seen these fourth quarter, they seem to be really good trailing at the end of the third into the fourth and make these unbelievable comebacks in the second half. If that holds true, I don't know that they're going to be able to come back here tonight against Cleveland, but I'd be willing to throw a little something on Cleveland having that lead when they get going. What is happening with the Knicks here, by the way? You would think Toronto is, hey, a good time to get back on track, but 3 consecutive terrible losses here. What are we doing with the Knicks here?
You know, I wanted to play this game so badly. I played on the Knicks the other night against the Orlando Magic and just thinking that their defense would show up and keep the Orlando Magic under 100. Well, you know, they held the Magic to 103 in a game that Karl Anthony Towns sat out late, and the Knicks were offensively pathetic throughout that game. So I think they bounced back. Do I really want to lay 11 right now? No. I would – here's honestly, like, this is the way I would play this game. I would look at this game and go, if the Knicks don't start out fast, the Natives are going to get very restless in Madison Square Garden very, very quickly. And if that's the case, then guess what? You know, the Boo Birds are going to rain down, and it's going to be a long night for the Knicks. And so from that standpoint, I go, okay, they need to start fast. They know they need to start fast. And I would hope that they can get out to a quick 3.5-point lead at the end of one. That's just kind of the way I would look at it to avoid the headache of this whole game and really, like, you know, how the game could play out a variety of different ways. I expect the Knicks to start fast. Toronto starts slow. They always do. And I think that this is really a spot here where they can take advantage. I mean, that's kind of just the way I look at it.
Yeah, and listen, I think they should be able to take advantage and get it done here tonight if we think they are who they are. We watched, Denver last night, right? Yeesh, no, Jokic, I believe, was a late scratch there. They are at home welcoming in the Clippers here tonight. It's good to see Kawhi back. They're trying to get him up to speed. It may take a little while here with the Clippers, but... I mean, -2 for the Clippers tells me they have no intention of the Joker playing in this game here tonight, which makes me wonder if we're really getting to 224 points.
That's the way I would go with it. But, you know, Denver at elevation here, getting points at home seems very, very hard to pass up. Kawhi Leonard actually not playing tonight. I think his family in the wildfires, he had to leave the team and go.
Oh, that's right, yes.
He, you know, the PJ Tucker also not playing in this game. So overall, low scoring, I think, is kind of the way this thing ends up going.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to the late game here tonight. I want to say late game, one of the last games on the board here between Milwaukee taking on the San Antonio Spurs. I mean, listen, San Antonio getting 5.5 here. I haven't seen them lose a lot more. Look at that, down to 4 now. I haven't seen San Antonio getting blown out here by these kinds of numbers here. It feels like a good spot maybe to back the Spurs.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're a much improved team, right? But again, it's like, it's almost to me like take San Antonio on the money line and forget the 4 points, because the two outcomes that I feel most likely is Milwaukee wins big or San Antonio wins outright, right? Like if you're going to play San Antonio here, you may as well sprinkle a little on the money line just for a goof, like unit between the spread and the money line, because I think there's a real good chance that San Antonio could win the game. But other than that, if Milwaukee gets out to a big lead, does San Antonio really have the ability to play catch up? I'm not 100% sure.
Feels like I should be betting the over in that game too at 225.5. That, right? It just feels like that could be a whole lot of fun to watch as it gets to 250. All right, we'll get back more from Mark Zeno when Game Time Decisions continues here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on this Wednesday. Welcome in, plenty to look forward to here, not just tonight, but of course this week, as we've got 4 teams left before we can crown a national champion in college football. Plus, it's wild card weekend in the NFL. And joining us once again, our good friend Mark Zeno here. And Zin, love this week here. We get a little dose of the Orange Bowl and Cotton Bowl over the next 48 hours. And then, of course, right into wild card weekend in the NFL. What are you more excited about? More chalk in college football or the NFL this week, you think?
Well, I'm curious to see how these college games play out. I mean, I'm going to step in front of Notre Dame for the 3rd consecutive game, and hopefully I'm finally right at this point in time. I haven't seen anything from Notre Dame's offense that makes me believe that they can go out and win a game. Like, they've been very, very fortunate in their 2 games. If Jeremiah Love doesn't break that 98-yard touchdown, how much different does that game look? Because Indiana lost it all right there. They got behind, and they panicked, and everything fell apart for them really quickly. And then outside of the sack fumble at the end of the first half and then the opening kickoff return for a touchdown, what real offense did Notre Dame have against Georgia? I mean, if we can concede that Georgia and Penn State's offenses are the same, and I don't really think they are. Penn State is probably statistically better in a lot of categories. What is Notre Dame's offense really going to be able to accomplish here? If Penn State doesn't beat themselves, I think they're the better team. Like, everybody keeps talking about, you know, James Franklin, the record against, you know, this, that, and the other. Is Notre Dame really a top 10 team? Maybe, but I don't know if they are a top 5 team. And they are, like, of that ilk of what we saw this year from Oregon, what we saw from Texas, what we saw from, you know, Ohio State all year long. Like, I don't think they're of that same level. And so if Penn State doesn't beat themselves and they can run the football and play defense and they can get out to a lead, that's the biggest thing. If you force Riley Leonard to have to throw this game, team back into the game, they're dead in the water, Notre Dame. The huge offensive advantages definitively with Penn State and huge quarterback advantages with Drew Aller and Penn State. And so if they can't figure out a way to, you know, to get past Notre Dame's defense, and if they can have some success running the football, then I think they're going to be okay here. I genuinely do. So I think the game script is really important. I think it'll be really tight early. I think both of these teams will not want to make the first mistake, and whichever team can make more plays early on is going to have a huge advantage, because it's one of those games where I don't know if the team that leads ever really relinquishes the lead.
Yeah, I know the under keeps getting bet, but I those are two really good defenses. The defenses are better than the offenses here. I think that game will show it. I don't think there will be any defense played, however, in the NFL when it comes to the Commanders in Tampa Bay. Something tells me, Zim, we could get a wild shootout. Listen, I think experience matters in the NFL, especially in a wild card. Clearly, Tampa has it at home and Washington doesn't. Next year, Washington, I don't know. Are you thinking they got a shot to pull out the outright upset here?
I mean, I've said this. I said the best version of Washington is better than the best version of Tampa Bay. Here's the real rub. You're talking about quarterbacks making their first playoff start against quarterbacks who have playoff experience. Jaden Daniels' first playoff start, Baker Mayfield playoff experience. 19-37-1 against the number since 2002, and 19-38 straight up. So when those quarterbacks with less experience play on the road, they're 11-21 straight up, 12-19-1 ATS. So there's a huge edge here for Tampa having played and Baker having been in this scenario before in the postseason. Does that mean it works out that way? I don't know. I mean, again, it's one of those things. If I'm Washington, I got to get up early. I got to force Tampa Bay to play from behind, and I got to try to attack that secondary and make them figure out a way to slow down the passing game of Jaden Daniels. I think ultimately that boils down to. So, you know, and it's interesting, the number is sitting at 3. Like, if you had 3.5, it feels like you have to play Washington. It could come down to a field goal game. I mean, you know, the Buccaneers just struggled with the Saints, for crying out loud, last weekend. So they're a very up and down team. The biggest rub is Dan Quinn. Yeah. If he makes one of these stupid gambles, you know, early in the game, it could hurt the Commanders and they can't get out of that hole.
Are we expecting the Bills to do anything other than win here, Zay?
Huge coaching advantage in Denver, right? And that's what scares me. I've said repeatedly, Josh Allen not only has to beat the team on the other side of the field, he's got to overcome his coach making dumb decisions and hurting him, because that's really what has held Josh Allen back, in my opinion, in these games, especially tight games against the Chiefs and especially tight games in the playoffs. Like, it really is about whether, you know, Sean McDermott can manage these situations. So I think Buffalo should roll, but always got a question.
You heard it. Zin, enjoy the games, brother. We'll talk to you again. Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in here. Game Time Decisions, and we put out an APB. We were searching high and low for CT Betts and Kenny White, and we found them, guys. You don't want to know where we found them, but we did find them, and they are back here to talk some college football as well as some NFL as we get ready for Wild Card Weekend, as well as being that much closer to crowning a national champion. So, gents, welcome back in. And CT, let me start at the Orange Bowl here, man. Tomorrow night, as we've got Notre Dame and Penn State going toe-to-toe, the market has it almost like a coin flip. 2.5 here for Notre Dame. Total saw a lot of under money come in, 45.5. Break it down for me, my man. Who wins this game?
Yeah, I like Penn State here, Joe. I originally thought I was going to like ND. And, you know, the past couple of days, I started liking Penn State more and more. And I did. I bet some Penn State plus 2.5. And somebody came in and smashed that in the last couple of days, because last I checked, it was down to 1.5. And, Joe, I thought that ND's offensive performance against the Dogs was very limited. And that's pretty obvious. It's a totally different ball game if the walk-on doesn't get the sideline penalty there when Kirby lost his mind. then 13 of the what, 24 points that they had come within a minute, the field goal, the strip fumble, and then the kick return. I mean, that's just that they didn't, outside of that, I mean, that was the game right there. You know, and they got a few very capable running backs, and Love, he got banged up. I know he's going to play, but, you know, that's going to, they're going to rely on Price a lot more now, not having Love full strength. You know, their biggest run came from Riley Leonard. He ripped off a 32-yarder. And the longest pass play of the game, Joe, for Notre Dame was 14 yards. 14 yards for Riley Leonard. I think these teams are very similar. Both great defenses. They both could run the ball, and they both have serviceable trigger men. But I give the advantage to the Lions in the run game, and I think it's a significant advantage with the trigger man. Defenses are about equal, in my opinion, even though with Notre Dame slightly rated a little higher, I still think that Nittany Lions D is right there. Only disadvantage, and yeah, it's a big one that Notre Dame has over the Nittany Lions is coaching. And you know, that does scare me a lot. I like to bash James Franklin quite a bit. My brother went to Penn State, and I make fun of him all the time for Franklin not being able to get the job done. Abdul Carter, I don't think he's going to be clearly he's not going to be at full strength, Joe. He's going to play. I don't know how effective he's going to be. I think it might be more of a decoy. But my handicap didn't involve my handicap had Abdul out anyways here. I think that the defensive line for the Nittany Lions held up just fine and stopped Genty, the number one running back in the country, quote unquote, Joe. That 100 yards wasn't really 100 yards, in my opinion. I think Franklin finally gets the job done here, and we see Penn State into the championship game.
It's amazing the coaches that are left here, Kenny, and the narrative surrounding them can all be changed in another game or two here, and we'll talk about them in a totally different light. But tell me I'm wrong. Please tell me that the defenses aren't the best units on the field for both teams.
Hey, Joe, that's what I got to tell you. And CT, you know, when he was talking about Penn State, I thought he was making a case for my under. I thought that's what he was talking about. Notre Dame, they scored 17 points in 54 seconds. In the other 59 minutes of the football game, they had 13 points or 9 points. Six points, if I can do the math right. So, yeah, CT's right. This offense really struggled. And the only times that Notre Dame scored this year was against bad football teams. That's who they beat up. But they scored 23 against Texas A&M. They scored 14 against Northern Illinois, who has a good defense. They scored 28 against Miami of Ohio, who has a good defense, but it's a MAC team. They scored 27 against Indiana and 23 against Georgia. This offense is not a dynamic offense, and Marcus Freeman's a defensive guy. He's a defensive coordinator by trade. He's very conservative, and it shows by Riley Leonard's stats. Riley Leonard throws the ball 25 times per game and runs it at 11, and the rest of the plays in that team is run by the running back. So they're going to run the ball 60% of the time. James Franklin, another conservative football coach. Drew Aller this year, median 22 passes per game. They run it more than 50% of the time, and that's what you're going to see out of both these teams. And CT's right. The defenses are pretty equal. I have Notre Dame third best in the country, Penn State number four. Median points allowed, Notre Dame 13 against every team that they played on the road, 14 against every team they played in the entire season. And then Penn State, 12 points per game they allowed on median in their entire schedule. These two defenses are for real. I went under the 47, and I would never tell you to go under a bad number unless it's still a good play. It's still a good play under 45.
Yeah, I took it in the first half as well, Kenny, because I just think it's going to be a rock fight in this one coming up. And maybe the worst part about this game is that no matter who wins, it's going to make the committee look like they knew what they were talking about, because to end up with Penn State or Notre Dame in the national championship game, the committee's going to look like geniuses. And then you got, of course, the Cotton Bowl. Ohio State taking on Texas. And listen, CT, the minute that Ohio State blew out Oregon, we knew, boy, there was going to probably be some value on Texas here, because the whole world's going to run and bet Ohio State. Doesn't mean they're wrong. But what do you think we get in this game now, down to what, 5.5?
Yeah, so Joe, this is what I did in this game, and Kenny's the numbers guy, and he's my guy that I rely on for a lot of numbers. So he could probably run the math a little bit better, but I did it here on the fly, and both of you guys know that, you know, I'm really high on this Buckeyes team, and I told you both, I think the best thing for the Buckeyes was losing that game to Michigan. I thought that was going to make them come back better than ever, and it did. So what I did with Joe, I have a bunch of Buckeyes futures already. I have them 5-1, 4-1, 3.5-1. What I did here, cause I didn't want to lay 6.5. I played Ohio State -105, to win the whole thing. I think that that's going to be a better number than what you're going to get in the money line parlay carryover. Cause right now you're seeing about -230, -235 in the market. And I think it's going to be around -265, -270. Versus either Penn State or Notre Dame. So I think -105 will end up being is a very fair price. And I think that will end up being better in the money line rollover parlay. So that's what I did, Joe. So for my breakdown on this here, I mean, they were calling for Ryan Day's head after the game, right? You know, the idiot fans, they were saying that Day shouldn't step foot in Ohio again. I mean, complete morons. He's one of the best recruiters and best coaches in the nation, and it's not even close. And Will Howard, who I never doubted, is just absolutely dialed in. Chip Kelly and Ryan Day are finally on the same page. The play calling has been phenomenal, and Chip's been aggressive. And you cannot cover the drag routes, Joe. They've gone back to the old school ways when it was Stroud, Olave, and Wilson. They have the wide receivers. You cannot cover them. You saw Dan Lanning's head was spinning, guys. He didn't know what hit him. And that's what you're going to get. If that team shows up, the team that showed up versus Tennessee and Oregon, they're going to be very, very tough to beat. And yours is clearly very hurt. He's not 100%. You know, they're not going to be able to run the ball. That's going to make them one-dimensional. And I like the Buckeyes' defensive backs and safeties' chances to stop those Texas wideouts. I think Ohio State wins this game. And again, yeah, is there value on Texas? Yeah, because the line's probably a little high just because of what we've seen from the Buckeyes the last two games, probably a little overreaction.
So, hey, listen, if you can get Ohio State and you like them to win this in the national championship, now would be the time to jump on it. All right, when we come back, Kenny, I want to ask you about the numbers. And I also want to ask you, because I am seeing a cardinal rule being broken when betting college football. I'll ask you about it when Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back in Game Time Decisions. We got two of the best with us here. CT Betts, Chris Thurston, as well as the wizard, Kenny White, talking college football playoffs. We'll talk some of the NFL bets that we like this week. But, Kenny, let me get your thoughts on this Ohio State and Texas game. You know, you ran the numbers here. There is without a doubt value on Texas. Now, whether that's warranted, this number or not, we saw 5.5. So I still think there's maybe a 6 or 2 out there. Who do you like in this side? And is the value enough to actually take the 6 points right now?
Well, Joe, CT took so long, I had to jump into a beer pong game real quick. I'm going to finish the rest of my beer, and then I'll let you know who I like in the Texas game. So I absolutely love that. I don't actually love, but I shouldn't say, you know, I didn't want to bore your listeners and your followers with another under, but I do like the game under because, what something CT said is so correct that when you lose, you learn more about yourself. And Ohio State learned a ton about themselves against Michigan. And what was that? Don't be conservative. Throw the football down the field. Let your quarterback throw the football. Yep. And they've been much better the last two games. But you know what? Texas has only lost twice this year. And that was against Georgia. No one else in the country has beaten Texas but Georgia. And Texas really outplayed Georgia the second time. And that was with their quarterback. So these are two really good football teams. I think Texas's advantage right now is going to be the offensive and defensive lines. I think they're slightly better on both, not much, slightly better. I think Howard's a little better quarterback than Ewers, though. So I made the game 3, Ohio State 3. I think they win by 3. I'm taking the points.
Once again, committee looks like geniuses no matter who wins and advances to the national championship game. All right, so Kenny, let me come back to you before you start drinking when CT goes. Let's switch over to the NFL because we have a pretty interesting one happening between Pittsburgh and Baltimore. And a lot of people scratching their head going, how is this almost a double-digit spread right now? Well, anybody that's watched Pittsburgh over the last month, it should not be a surprise. How do you approach this game?
Yeah, I don't want to lay that many points in a playoff game, especially when it's the third time you've played this year. If you go back over time, these division rival games do go to the underdog usually. So there's too much familiarity in this game. You know there's going to be some type of trick play here or there for Pittsburgh. This total was bet down because people think there's going to be bad weather. I don't think the weather is going to be that bad. 30 degrees and the wind's going to drop to less than 10 miles an hour. Snow in the morning, but at nighttime it should be just fine. I went over when you got the Baltimore Ravens, their median score on the year, 30-24, but it even gets better. At home, the Ravens average on median 34 points per game. That's almost a total by itself. They give up 23. On the other side, Pittsburgh on the road, they lose 27-19. Both figures add up over the total. You're going to see this total go back up when you see the weather clears up and people realize that. So I'd get it now.
Don't talk to me about weather. I woke up here. It was 55 degrees this morning, Kenny. I had to turn the heat on. CT, let me ask you. There's another interesting game. I guess narrative's playing a role. Texans at home, taking on the Chargers. Can the Chargers and Harbaugh do something while his predecessor couldn't do, and that's keep winning games in the playoffs here? What do you think we're going to get in this one?
Yeah, this is my best bet wild card weekend, Joe, and I think the Texans are getting pretty disrespected here, and I get it. I know that the Chargers, they won 6 road games this year, but take a look at who they were against. The Panthers, the Broncos before they started playing well, the Browns, the Falcons, the Patriots, and Vegas. They beat one playoff team on the road, and that was the Broncos before they really started getting rolling and clicking here. And I know the Texans didn't exactly finish strong, and everyone's real last memory of them is getting blown out on Christmas Day to Baltimore, but they did move the ball, and they just were a complete disaster in the red zone. They ran into a healthy and a rolling Ravens team. They're finally healthy, the Texans now. Everyone wrote them off last year in this exact spot versus the Browns, and they were puppies, and they rocked and rolled at home 45-14. I think the playoff experience in Houston here has a really good chance to pull off a home upset here. So I played the Texans +3.
One of the most profitable teams to back in the first half. If it ain't broken, CT, I'm with you. Give me Texans to have that lead at the break as well. Kenny, talk to me here about this Minnesota Rams game. A lot of folks think the dog that's going to win outright may be coming from this game with the Rams. What do you say?
Yeah, my game time decision, Joe, is the Vikings. I think they're better offensively. I know they're better offensively, that's for sure. When you look at the points the Rams put up this year, averaging 20 points per game on median, and they allowed 22.5. It's amazing that they really got outscored and ended up with a winning record on the season. Their biggest games were ones they won and blowouts. They lost the close games, the games that mean something. Minnesota just played a playoff game, and we talk about teams learning more about themselves off a loss than a win. It's the Minnesota Vikings. They lost everything from the 1 seed down to the 5 seed, or they might have been the 2 seed. Philly probably would have gotten it because of tiebreakers, but that was a big loss for them. The Rams played the Seahawks. Nobody played for the Rams. They could have cared less. They didn't learn anything from that game. They went through the motions. The Vikings played a playoff game already. The Vikings are better offensively. They're better defensively. And you know the Ram fans, they're going to show up in the first quarter and they're going to leave at halftime.
You and I both know that. Great, great home field advantage. All right, CT, yeah. I understand Jalen Hurts limited to practice today, but at practice today, And quite honestly, I don't care if he plays or he doesn't play. I don't see what the hubbub about Philly is here. You like him?
Yeah, I do. He's going to go, and they're finally going to be healthy. 22 of 22 starters going to go for the Birds. And Love's taken some shots last couple of weeks. He's dinged up. Gulls have too many weapons on both sides of the ball. I made this game a little higher, Joe, and I think the Eagles soar into the divisional round weekend.
All right, CT Betts, Chris Thurston, Kenny White, minus 120. Kenny wins the beer pong game. We'll be back here on Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. As we look to close out this hour of Game Time Decisions, we got much more to get to, including a great slate in college basketball as well as the NBA. Let's not forget the NHL. We got plenty to talk about, but let's hear a little more about this week's Sports Millions Pick'em. We got a big wild card weekend, and here's a couple of looks here that you might not have thought about.
Definitely a lot of ways we can go with our Sports Millions picks today, Tom, but I'm excited to see both of us with a limited slate out there on the ice have turned to looking at some matchups out there on the football field. I'll be looking at tomorrow's game in the Orange Bowl, and I know that you're going to look ahead to the Denver Broncos matchup with the Buffalo Bills. So why don't you get us started?
Yeah, we got a huge weekend of football coming up, both for college and the NFL. Let's get into this Denver at Buffalo game. And let's turn to Bo Nix, quarterback for the Denver Broncos. I've spoken about his passing attempts on various shows across Sports Grid, but you know, I also like his passing yards. And what it comes down to is, A, we see Denver as, you know, large road underdogs, so they just should be trailing, which should put them in a passing game script. But we've also seen Denver really, really struggle at running the ball, and specifically last week of the regular season, they blow out the Chiefs. They're up, you know, wire to wire the entire game, and they don't have a single running back get to 50 rushing yards with the three running backs they have, and Bo Nix is leading the team in rushing. They simply cannot run the ball, so the ball's just going to be in Bo Nix's hand time and time again. So I like his passing attempts. I also like his passing yards at higher than 219 and a half. They're going to be playing from behind. He's averaging 222 in the season. So when it's all said and done, if they're playing from behind and they struggle at running the ball, even in the ideal circumstances, as we saw last week versus the Chiefs, Bo Nix is just going to have to pass the ball if Denver's going to stay even close in this game with the Bills.
I absolutely love where you're going with Bo Nix. I think it's such a strong way to look at him here. And when I look at the Orange Bowl, we've got a really interesting matchup between these two teams. Notre Dame taking on Penn State. And this is one, Tom, where I want to focus on Riley Leonard. Now, Riley Leonard, such a strong dual threat quarterback out there. We know his legs will be the way that they will be able to beat Penn State, because Love, their main running back out there, isn't 100%. He does have that knee break on. And we look at him in that last game versus Georgia. He wasn't able to get things done on the ground. But when we looked at Riley Leonard, he came out phenomenally strong on the ground versus Georgia. Now he's going to be under a lot of pressure here from Penn State's defense. This is a defense that's going to put all of that pressure on him. But there's still question marks on if Abdul Carter will play. And without Abdul Carter out there, and even if he does play, not at 100%, I think Riley Leonard has every ability to get out of the pocket with that pressure and put those yards up. So I'm going to take Riley Leonard higher than 49.5 rushing yards in this matchup versus Penn State, Tom.
I think that's a great look. Should be a close game. Obviously, we've seen the line move just a little bit, but I think we're in for an awesome week of football, starting off on Thursday, running all the way to Monday. I'm ready for it.
I'm absolutely ready for it, too. And you guys, make sure you join us back here tomorrow on Game Time Decisions for another Sports Million Picks.
All right, Joe and Tom, we appreciate it as always, and I'm with you. This is going to be one heck of a start to the NFL postseason here. Wild card weekend should deliver, and maybe, just maybe, unlike the regular season in which the chalk had been most profitable to back, maybe now is the time some of the dogs come barking in the playoffs in the NFL. We shall see soon enough. We also have plenty of opportunities here tonight to jump in where maybe a dog or two will be barking, especially in college basketballs. We've got plenty of great games getting ready to tip off here coming up this hour. We're going to dive in to how about Indiana? Anybody see what's happening with the Hoosiers here tonight, who have a pretty good opportunity to take another one at home as they welcome in USC? Some of these teams traveling from the West to the East hasn't been working out all that well. And also these former Pac-12 teams in college basketball, maybe, just maybe, not exactly used to the physicality of the Big Ten. And we have seen some of these teams struggle a little bit more. Teams like USC with a bunch of guards and forwards and not a whole lot of brute force there. They're going to struggle here. They might very well struggle tonight against Indiana, who will have no problem pushing them around and imposing their will. So we got much more to get to here as Game Time Decisions. Getting ready for another hour. Come back and join us here on the Sports Grid Network.